Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are. Another week has rolled by, and we're back at your door wanting to come in and worship with you. And it's just a special day because it's Easter Sunday, and that is the most wonderful time of the year. All over Christendom, people are rejoicing in the risen Christ. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and he's risen from the grave, and he'll live forever. And so will you, and so will I, if we have Jesus in our heart. Christian Worship Hour is put on to just to glorify God, and is to bring people to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and to comfort God's people. That's what we have in mind, and I know God's going to help us to accomplish that. I have our message for today, which is going to be a message about Easter, the Savior as the risen Christ, and the first Easter Sunday morning. It's a great story. It thrills your soul. Before that, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many nice letters from you folks, and I hope more of you'll write. Just write to us and encourage us. And if you have a prayer request or something, do that. If you want to send a gift, I hope you'll do that. And we'll give you the address in just a few minutes. I'll read the letters and then give the address. We have a letter from Spencer, Iowa. And these folks write, "Your program has led me to a greater love for God and a greater love for my dear Savior, Jesus Christ. I have more trust and thankfulness in my heart." And you know why that happened? Because we preach the Bible. We preach the Bible all the time. And that's where the power is. That's where the help is. And here's people growing in the Lord. Now, I want you to listen to this story letter really close. It's from San Jose, California. And they write, "I also appreciate the prayers that Pastor Salem offers for persecuted Christians around the world. To that end, I wanted to let you know that I'm an Assyrian American and would like to request special prayers for my people in Iraq and Syria. As you know, since June 2014, when ISIS took over Mosul, that's Nineveh, and later in August, the surrounding towns, almost all Assyrians who are Christians became displaced. In Syria, ISIS took hundreds of Assyrians hostage in March and August of 2015. The Assyrian Church of the East in Syria, and with the help of the Assyrian Church of the East Relief Organization, has been working hard to secure their release. Some have been released, but there are still hundreds remain hostage, mostly women and children. Please pray for the rest of the hostages to be released unharmed." And you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop right now. And all over the world, we're going to pray for Iraq and Syria, for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. All of us, everywhere, wherever you are. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for these dear brothers and sisters in Iraq and Syria. They are, oh dear God, we pray they'll be liberated and set free. Let them go back to their loved ones and back to their homes and their churches. Oh God, we just wish that you could just stop the whole thing. But we know that you have a purpose and reason for everything. But for the people of Syria and Iraq, our love and our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I have another letter, one more letter I want to share, and that's from Alcester, South Dakota. "My husband was on dialysis for 7 years, so there were many Sundays we couldn't go to church because we did the dialysis treatment at home. We always sit together to hear your word. He went to live with his Lord on February 28, 2015. He couldn't walk because of strokes also. His one last wish here on earth was to walk again. Brings me joy to know he is now running the bases, enjoying walking with God and his angels in heaven." Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful story? And here they are. And I tell you, friends, we think so much about people that are shut in, people that can't get out, and especially in the winter months. But as we over those times and the storms, we hear from so many, and people who are on wheelchairs, and in sick beds. We think of them all the time. We never have a service we don't pray for the shut-ins. And so we just pray that God will bless this dear brother, and he's with the Lord, and he'll walk. Believe me, he'll walk. And won't that be something? And I go with a walker too. I'm going to get rid of that thing. I don't know if I'm going to take it with me in the casket or not, but I'm sure not going to need it when I get to heaven. I know that. So if you'd like to write to us, we'd ask you to send a letter to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And or if you want to get us, you can on christianworshiphour.com. And I just want to say something right now. I have just written a booklet of 14 pages, and it is entitled, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. So if you're not sure you're a Christian, if you lack assurance, or you maybe think you lost your salvation, you write to us at this address, Christian Worship Hour. For those on shortwave, are going to repeat it. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you can send a gift with it, that's fine. If you don't have any money, we'll send it anyway, because we'll get people from in prison. They don't have any money, and some of the others don't. We'll send it out anyway. But if you can make a donation, that's fine. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're going to heaven? This book will answer it without any questions about it. Now, our sermon for today. Oh, I love to preach about the resurrection. I love to preach about Easter when Jesus Christ in the grave is empty. And all over Christendom, everybody's rejoicing and happy because that is the day when Jesus, though he was crucified and though he was in the grave, in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, has risen from the grave. He's alive. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's going to come one of these bright sunny days, and he's going to take us to be with him, and we're going to rule and reign in his kingdom forever and ever. Don't pass that up. But you have to have Jesus if you're going to have it. So in our story today, we're looking in John chapter 20. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that, because we're going to look at several of those verses. And here we see a Mary Magdalene, and she's come to see the grave, and she wants to get the body of Jesus, wants to give him a burial, the right burial. And Mary Magdala has tradition that she was a scarlet woman. Perhaps she was, we do not know. But we do know that at any rate, it was out of this woman that Jesus had cast seven demons. And having done that for her, Mary's love for Jesus never wavered and never failed. Ever, 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 to her dying grave, she loved the Lord Jesus and trusted him. Jesus has forgiven us so much, just like Mary Magdalene. I wonder if we really have loyalty to Jesus Christ. I wonder if we really love him with all of our heart and our soul. Mary, God bless her, never had a moment's hesitation. And she went out to see if she can't do something with that body and give it a decent kind of a burial. Really, love was all that Mary had to bring to that day, to that tomb. And in the 19th and in the 20th chapter, we read of Mary coming early in the morning. And all of us men, we have to step back, because as a woman, the woman was the first one to see the risen Christ. And then the rest of the men, we came tagging in a little bit later. And so we just give credit to the women, especially to Mary. And really, love was all that Mary had to bring that to that tomb that morning. She didn't have a thing to her name, and women were desperately poor in those days. But she came, and she came because she loved us. But before we go too far, I want to mention, too, that in John chapter 19, we have two men that were dedicated to men of God, at Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They were two powerful men in Israel. Both were members of the prestigious Sanhedrin, and both were men of quite some means, and both men loved the Lord Jesus. These two men had gone directly to Pilate and talked to him personally and begged for the body of Jesus, and that had been granted, and they had taken the body of Jesus down, and they had wound him, they gave him a little burial, but they had a rush because the Sabbath was coming. And in their burial, they wound the body in linen, fine linen, and they poured in spices. And sometimes in embalming the body, they might use 100 pounds of spices to embalm that body. And so they did that, and then they placed it in Joseph's tomb. And now it's in the tomb, and there's been a huge rock rolled in front of the door. And it had the seal of Rome on that door, on that stone. Nobody could touch it. It had been guarded by Roman soldiers constantly, day and night. It had been inspected and approved by the enemies of Jesus. Yes, it was secure. There wasn't any possible way Jesus Christ could get out of that tomb, and there wasn't any way anybody could ever steal that body. So 3 days and three nights pass, and just as Jesus said, he rose from the dead. Just as he said. I want to tell you something, dear friend of mine. Jesus always does as he says. If he says he will save us unto the uttermost, then he will. If he says he'll never leave us or forsake us, then that is true. He never will. If he says he will love us with an everlasting love, then he will. If he says he'll take us to heaven when we die, then he will. You can depend on what Jesus says. We have so many of these politicians and people running around, and you can't believe half of what they say. Whenever Jesus said anything, he always kept his word. So the story opens, John chapter 20, if you have your Bibles. First verse, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. The first day of the week is Sunday. And that is why we worship on Sunday. We worship on Sunday because it is the resurrection day. It is the new dispensation. The early church met on Sunday, the first day of the week. And here it is, the first day of the week she comes. It is still dark. And she can see that the stone has been rolled away. And she assumes that somebody has taken the body. Mary, it seems, did not investigate. Instead, she ran to Simon Peter and to John and to tell them about what she'd seen. And this is something interesting, and it's the only place in the Bible that we're told that. But we're told that John had taken Simon Peter, into his home. Now remember, Simon Peter had denied the Lord with cursing and bitterness and oaths, and he said he didn't know him. And then after he realized what he'd done, he shed bitter tears. And here it is, John, the man with the loving heart, takes Peter, says, "Come home with me, Peter. You stay with me." And so they stay there with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Simon Peter and John in that home. This is the only place we're told that in the whole Bible. And so this, when in the morning Mary was thinking that Jesus was dead, she looks and she sees that the stone is rolled away. And she thought somebody had stolen the body. And so in the second verse, she says, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." And immediately Peter and John run for the tomb. They don't saunter along and they don't pick daisies on the way. They run as fast as they can run. And John gets there first. And that's why we think probably John was younger than Peter. He outran Peter. And John peers into the tomb, and then the fifth verse it says, he seeth the linen clothes lying, but he didn't go in. He saw a little more than Mary saw. But when Peter arrives, and what would you expect? Runs right into the tomb. He doesn't stand and look and gawk or wonder. He goes right into the tomb. He didn't stand outside. And that encourages the boldness of John. And so he goes in, and they're in the tomb. And so there you have the trio in the tomb. Peter, John, and Mary. As John looks, he sees the grave clothes, and they're undisturbed. They're like a cocoon. And the head cloth is folded neatly and lying by. That could not have been a grave robbery, for the clothes were in perfect order. And so G. Campbell Morgan says, the most significant Peter saw the grave clothes as they had been wound about the body of Jesus, with all the spices in the windings, undisturbed, except that those wound wound around the body had fallen flat. They were not unwound. The most significant statement is that the napkin was lying by itself separately and that it was still in its folds as it had been about the head of Jesus. So Jesus had risen right through those grave clothes. And the stone rolled away was with an earthquake. It wasn't to let Jesus out, but it was to let the people in and see that grave was empty. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he came right through that cloth and right through that stone because he had a spiritual body now. And as a miracle of miracles, Jesus Christ is risen. He had risen through the grave clothes and through the grave, and the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to prove that he had already left. He had risen. There could be no question about it. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead precisely as he said he would. However, John is honest in reporting they didn't really realize the resurrection, because John says in verse 9, he says, "For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Now, Jesus had told them about the resurrection, and he told them to destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll restore it. He told them about the come the resurrection from the dead, but they never caught it. They just didn't pick it up, because who's ever seen dead people rise? Dead people didn't rise, and they couldn't imagine it, and they never caught on that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. And then it is that Peter and John go back home, but Mary didn't go back home. And in verse 11, John tells us, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. So the men leave, but Mary, who loved him so much, stays on. And she peers into the tomb and she sees two angels, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus had lain. And the angels ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And isn't it interesting that when the angels appeared to the shepherds, scared them out of their socks. But now when the angels talk to Mary, it doesn't bother her a bit, because she is so intent on finding the body of Christ that even the angels don't get her attention. She wants that body of Christ. And she tells them, she tells the angels, "Because they have taken away my Lord, I don't know where they have laid him." Verse 13. And here's something that's really beautiful. "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb." And so she is saying, "I don't care if he's dead or he's alive. He's my Lord. He's my Lord if he's alive and moving. But if he's a body, if he's dead, he's still my Lord." Mary of Magdala still was true to him even in death. It didn't make any difference to Mary. She loved him. He'd cast out the demons. She would never forget that. She would always love that dear Jesus. And so she says, "They've taken him away." But now he is dead, and she's lost even the dead body. And she thought, how in the world would... She didn't think of him in the land of the living. She just thought of him as dead someplace, and they'd taken the body someplace, taken away. But what does she call him? "My Lord." Even when it's only a body, even when he's dead and taken away, she still calls him "my Lord." And then we talk about Mary, and she says, listen to what she says, "They have taken me away, and I know not where they have laid him." She turns from the grave to face this man and behind her, and she does not recognize him, probably because her eyes are filled with tears, but it's Jesus. But she's been weeping so much that her eyes are filled with tears, and she's not looking that way anyway. She's looking the other way. And Jesus asks her the question, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And Mary then turns around, thinks it is the gardener, because her eyes are filled with tears, and she doesn't expect ever to see Jesus standing alive. He's a corpse. He's dead somewhere. And so she replies, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." Now, you know, when you read that, you think, Mary, what are you talking about? Mary says, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away. How's she going to carry Jesus? How's she going to carry that dead body? If she's going to take him away, where's she going to take him? She doesn't know. All she knows is that she wants to get to that body and take care of that body somehow. She isn't reasoning. She loves Jesus so much that she's not worrying about the details. She just wants the Savior. And I want to tell you, friend of mine listening in today, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's exactly how we ought to be. We ought to be so strong in our faith in Jesus Christ and our love in Him, we will attempt anything, even if it doesn't make sense, even if we can't see the way all the way through. Everybody wants everything all written out and figured out. No, if God is calling us to do something, do it. And out of love, we do that. And Mary, though she doesn't have any idea how she could carry Him or where she could put Him, nothing at all, she's looking for that body, crying and sobbing. And Mary stands, and then Jesus behind her says, "Mary." And she turned and said to Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Did you notice that, my friend? Mary was looking at the grave instead of Jesus. She didn't dream of seeing Jesus there. She was weeping, and that's all right. But she was weeping, and she's looking in the wrong direction. And when our loved one is taken, dear friend, weep a little bit, but don't stand there looking at that coffin all day long. Turn around and look at Jesus. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the help comes from. And that person isn't in that grave anyway. It's just the house. And the spirit and soul is long departed. And Jesus, why, that your loved one isn't in that grave. If that your loved one was a Christian trusting Jesus, he's not there. She's not there. The boy's not there. The baby's not there. He's in heaven with the Lord. And so don't spend all the time looking at that corpse and looking at that grave, but look to Jesus. That's what Mary did. That's where the help came from, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Barclay talks about Mary and puts it like this. He says, Barclay, she could not recognize Jesus because she insisted on facing the wrong direction. She couldn't take her eyes off the tomb and so had her back to Jesus. Again, as is often so with us, at such a time our eyes are upon the cold earth of the grave, but we must wrench our eyes away from that. That is not where our loved ones are. Their worn out bodies may be there, but the real person is in heavenly places in the fellowship of Jesus, face to face in the glory of God. That's what you need to do, what I need to do. Get your eyes off of the casket and get it on the wonderful, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Because that person, that loved one, isn't in that casket anyway. I remember reading the story of a father and a son who were very close together in their relationship. And as the father grew older, he grew more feeble, and the boy watched over him more carefully. And then on one occasion, the father was not well, and the boy was called out of town, but he was very reluctant to go, wasn't going to go, and he expressed his concern to his father. And his father said to his son, "You go right ahead, your work demands it. And remember, if I'm not here when you get back, you'll know where to find me." See, that's what we need. That we know where to find me. I know where to find my wife, Beulah. She's not out there in the cemetery with that cold marker, but she's in the glory of God, in the presence of God. And I'll see her face to face. Don't look at the casket. Don't look at the marker. Look at the skies and look at the Jesus. Look at the Christ. That's where our hope is. Our loved one is gone. My mother, my father, my loved one. But I'm going to see them again someday. And so this wonderful story, the resurrection, don't you see what it does for us? When our loved one is taken, we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We think of those who, we have to have some sorrow. I'm going to tell you, when I go, if you don't have a few tears, I'm going to be disgusted with you. But don't be crying too much. And don't look too much at the casket. But look to Jesus. And so I wonder today, do you know Jesus? You can't look to Him. You sure can't have Him. You can't draw strength from Him. You can't put faith in Him if you don't know Him. You said, "Well, I'd like to know Him, but I don't know how to get to know Him. I don't know how to get acquainted." Well, let me tell you how. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, "I stand at your heart's door. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Jesus said, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I'll dwell with him and he with me, sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3, verse 20. So Jesus right now is knocking. You say, I don't hear any voices. I don't hear any doorbells. No, but if you have an inkling, if you have a feeling something is saying you ought to open your heart to Jesus, then you make this prayer. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll follow you the best I can. And I thank you for saving me, dear Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you tell somebody and you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Now you write to us or you get a word to us. We'll send you literature to start you in the Christian life. Maybe you drifted away from the Lord and you came back today. Maybe you're on a sick bed. Maybe you're a shut-in. Maybe you're an invalid. Maybe you can't do anything. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He's with you. We're praying for you. And I'm going to pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, bring many souls into the kingdom today and bless your people, you told Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people. Jesus, we're doing it the best way we know how. And help these people on beds of sickness look to Jesus. Just trust Jesus. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And I want to remind you once again, if you want this booklet, if you're not sure about your salvation, you write to us and just say, salvation, and we'll send it. If you can send a donation, that's fine. If you can't, we'll send it free and postpaid. We're going to get letters from the prisoners, and they won't have any money to send. They'll get one free and postpaid immediately. And you just write salvation, and it tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven without any doubt. And it's all the Word of God. It's not something that I dreamed up or thought of. It's the Bible, the Holy Word of God, 14 pages. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now we're just praying that you'll have a wonderful Easter day. We're praying you're going to have a good week and then tell your friends and all. And then next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back and we'll be preaching about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we're going to be talking about how Jesus tells us not to worry. Don't be a worry wart. And that's what we're going to preach about next week. So tell your friends, get together and join us. And in the meantime, we'll pray for you and you pray for us. We'll love you and you love us and we'll all love the Lord and praise God. We'll all get together in heaven one of these bright sunny days. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.